ghost pepper has a reputation. So does a ghost pepper wing that doesn't send you into tears make any sense? Does to us. That's why Popeye's ghost pepper wings are the perfect balance of flavor and fire. Popeye starts with intensely craveable flavor, adds the right amount of kick to keep things interesting, not inferno-ing, and then offers them at only $5 for 6 pieces. Because in New Orleans, we like to taste our food, not cry over it. Call us crazy.
Love that chicken from Popeye's.
Limited time at participating U.S. restaurants. Price may vary. Additional terms apply.
Hello, everybody. I'm Ed Robinson, and welcome to this edition of Extra Base Hit. This is the show that gets you caught up on anything and everything happening around Major League Baseball. Coming up on this edition of the program, we have an interview with Jennifer Mercedes. Jennifer is the producer and co-host of La Vida Baseball. The show, which airs on YouTube, covers Major League Baseball from a Latin perspective. In addition, she is the founder, producer, and host of La Chica Deportes. La Chica Deportes is a show that covers sports from a Latin perspective. On the program, we discuss Giancarlo Stanton, Aaron Judge, Derek Jeter, Bernie Williams, also the impact of Latin players and what they bring to the table for Major League Baseball, as well as the impact of Dominican players in Major League Baseball, and much more. So Jennifer is coming up on this edition of the program. I want to start off with my top three storylines, and I want to start off with the Tampa Bay Rays. Throughout the month of May, Tampa Bay has still looked good. Not as impressive as the opening month, but still, during the month of May, they have looked very good. And we've seen pitchers such as Shane McClanahan, who has remained unstoppable during this first half of the long Major League Baseball season. Shane has been doing his thing on the mound. I mean, when you talk about one of the aces in the business, Shane McClanahan is one of those first names that comes to my mind. And again, he's done it so quietly, but he's done it so effortlessly and with a lot of efficiency. I mean, he is throwing strikes. He is throwing bombs on that mound. And not just with Shane McClanahan, but also contributing on the mound as well with the likes of Zach Eflin. But also, too, it's been the hitting as well with the likes of Arandia Rosarena, just to name a few. Tampa has been on point so far in this first half of the year. And they've really stepped up their game. I mean, they stepped up their game in the first month of the year, but they've continued to step up their game so far in this second month of the year. Well, second full month of the year, I should say, in the month of May. So kudos to the Tampa Bay Rays so far. Also, kudos to their manager, Kevin Cash, on another solid first half of the year. Currently, as this show is airing, they're at the top of the division in the American League East. So, you know, it's always a tough division when you've got Baltimore, Boston, Toronto, and of course the New York Yankees in the mix as well. So certainly Tampa handling their business so far in this first half of the year, making things happen. Also making big strides to do what they need to do to get the job done and hopefully stay ahead in that the tough division, challenging opponents such as the Yankees, the Red Sox, and the Blue Jays. My next storyline is going to be the Los Angeles Dodgers. Hey, the Dodgers had a decent first month of the year, late March going into April. But now, May has looked really good for the Dodgers. Again, Clayton Kershaw's been effective. A little shaky from Noah Syndergaard in the beginning, but overall looking very good. The Dodgers have been on point so far, especially during this second month of the year. Tony Gonsolin's been really good so far. And Julio Urias, of course, doing what Julio does best along with Dustin May. They've been picking up big strides on the pitching rotation. And, of course, when you talk about the hitting side of things, of course, Freddie Freeman, Mookie Betts, Max Muncy, the new addition, J.D. Martinez. People thought that with losing Justin Turner to the Boston Red Sox, who was such a key ingredient to that Dodger run the year that they won the World Series in the pandemic, the shortened season. But so far, so good. They've been able to pick up the offense in the absence of Justin with the new addition of J.D. Martinez. And, of course, I mentioned those other names with Mookie Betts and Freddie Freeman. And what can you say about the manager of the team, Dave Roberts, again, another solid job in this first half of the Major League Baseball regular season? It's a long season, It is not a marathon. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon. And certainly the Dodgers looking good. Again, they similar to the Tampa Bay Rays that play in a tough division. They play in a tough division in the National League West when you've got the Arizona Diamondbacks. You've got the San Francisco Giants. The Colorado Rockies are no joke. And, of course, the San Diego Padres with those guys that they have on their team with Juan Soto and Manny Machado and also Josh Hader. So the Dodgers looking good during the month of May and looking to continue that success going into June before the All-Star break. And for my last storyline is going to be Liam Hendricks. When you think of one of the top closers in Major League Baseball, one of the names that comes to my mind is Liam Hendricks. And Liam is a three-time All-Star. Also, he's a two-time All-MLB first team, also a member of the All-Major League Baseball second team. He's also twice been the American League Reliever of the Year. And I tell you one thing, since he's arrived on the south side of Chicago with the Chicago White Sox, he has been throwing heat like nobody's business. And the Thunder from down under, he hails from Australia, Perth, Australia to be exact. And, you know, since he's arrived with the White Sox, he's really been a key element to that team, not just in terms of the pitching, but most importantly, his inspiration. And certainly, Liam made his return to Major League Baseball this month after he was diagnosed at the beginning of the year with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma and began receiving treatment. Well, April the 5th, he announced on Instagram that he had finished chemotherapy. And then later in the month, he announced that he was cancer-free. And on May the 29th of 2023, he made his return to Major League Baseball by pitching in a game. And I tell you one thing, the crowd in Chicago it was a standing ovation and people cheered and people cried and tears of joy for Liam's return after becoming cancer-free after being diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. And this was the game from May the 29th of 2023 against the Los Angeles Angels. Bottom line is this. The White Sox didn't win that game, but it didn't matter because what mattered was the return of Liam Hendricks, someone that is highly respected in Major League Baseball, someone, one of the top relievers in the game, one of the top closers in the game. And certainly when he came out on the field in Chicago, the fans, the crowd just erupted in excitement and anticipation. It was just happy to see him back. So big ups to Liam Hendricks on his return to Major League Baseball and returning to the Chicago White Sox. All right, before we go to break, some sad news to pass along to you. During this month, we lost one of the greatest pitchers of all time, Vida Blue. Vida was 73 years of age. Vida was a six-time All-Star, a three-time World Series champion with the Oakland A's, the Oakland Athletics, was an American League MVP in the early 70s, along in that same year winning the American League Cy Young Award winner. And Vida played not only for the Oakland A's, but he also played for the San Francisco Giants and the Kansas City Royals. But his greatest memories, his greatest years were with both teams in the Bay Area, Oakland and San Francisco. And certainly a gentleman that was a talented player on the field, a talented player on the mound, throwing strikes, just putting fear in the hearts of a lot of hitters and offensive players. I mean, people that crossed his path, and certainly rest in peace to Vida Blue, again, passing away at the age of 73. And when we come back from the break, we'll have the current league leaders and standings in Major League Baseball. I'm Ed Robinson, and you're listening to Extra Base Hit.
Sorry. Get on top of it before they do. Every 24 minutes, tipped furniture or a falling TV sends an injured child to the emergency room. Preventing tip-over incidents is easy, inexpensive, and only takes 5 minutes. Learn how to secure your furniture and TVs to protect children at anchorit.gov.
There said it could be some kind of food allergy.
My muscles ached. I was tired all the time.
It happened like that, a full-blown asthma attack. It was scary.
The unsettling thing about some symptoms is
a fever, headaches. I have these red, itchy welts.
You don't always know what's causing them.
It was Lyme disease, from a tick bite.
I had West Nile virus, from a mosquito.
A reaction triggered by cockroach allergen.
Bed bugs.
Threats to your health can come from the most unexpected places. Mosquitoes can transmit West Nile virus and also Zika virus. Ticks can carry Lyme disease and Rocky Mountain spotted fever. And allergens from cockroaches can trigger asthma attacks, leading to respiratory distress. Don't wait until you or someone you love is suffering with unexplained symptoms. Get the facts you need to protect your family. Visit pestworld.org.
Everybody, welcome back to the program. Now it's time for the current league leaders and standings in Major League Baseball. Let's start off with the league leaders, and let's begin with the offensive side of things. Let's start off with batting average. Currently leading the major leagues in batting average is Luis Arraez from the Miami Marlins. He's batting .376. Coming in at number two is Bo Bichette of the Toronto Blue Jays. He's hitting .338. Coming in third is Elias Diaz from the Colorado Rockies. He's hitting .335. Freddie Freeman is fourth. He's batting at .333, representing the Los Angeles Dodgers. And at fifth is Ronald Acuña Jr. from the Atlanta Braves. He's batting at .327. Next category that we have is home runs. Coming in at number one, representing the New York Mets, Pete Alonso. He has hit 20 home runs. And then tied for second, we have Matt Olson from the Atlanta Braves, Max Muncy from the Los Angeles Dodgers, Aaron Judge from the New York Yankees, and Jorge Soler from the Miami Marlins. They all have 17. Next category is RBIs, runs batted in. Coming in at number one is Adalys Garcia from the Texas Rangers. He has 49 RBIs. Coming in at number two is Yordan Alvarez from the Houston Astros. He has 48 RBIs. Coming in at number three from the New York Mets, Pete Alonso. He has 46. And then tied for fourth is Rafael Devers from the Boston Red Sox and Marcus Semien from the Texas Rangers. He has 44. Next category is runs scored. At number one from the Atlanta Braves, Ronald Acuña Jr. He has scored 48 runs. Coming in at number two, Marcus Semien from the Texas Rangers. He scored 47 runs. Coming in at number three is Freddie Freeman from the Los Angeles Dodgers. He has scored 45 runs. And then tied for fourth is Matt Olson from the Atlanta Braves and Jonathan India from the Cincinnati Reds. They both have 44 runs. Next category is stolen bases. Coming in at number one, representing the Oakland A's, is Esteury Ruiz. He has 27 stolen bases. At number two is Ronald Acuña Jr. from the Atlanta Braves. He has 22. Coming in at number three is Wander Franco from the Tampa Bay Rays. He has 19 stolen bases. At number four, Bobby Witt Jr. from the Kansas City Royals. He has 16 stolen bases. And at number five is Jiwon Bae from the Pittsburgh Pirates. He has 15 stolen bases. The next category is going to be hits. At number one is Bo Bichette from the Toronto Blue Jays. He has 78 hits. At number two, Freddie Freeman from the Los Angeles Dodgers. He has 73. At number three is Ronald Acuña Jr. from the Atlanta Braves. He has 70 hits. At number four, representing the Miami Marlins, is Luis Arraez. He has 68. And at number five is Marcus Semien from the Texas Rangers with 65. And the last offensive category that we have is on-base and slugging percentage. At number one, Aaron Judge from the New York Yankees. At number two, Yandy Diaz from the Tampa Bay Rays. And at number three is Yordan Alvarez from the Houston Astros. At number four, Freddie Freeman from the Los Angeles Dodgers. And at number five, Ronald Acuna Jr. from the Atlanta Braves. That takes care of the hitting categories in Major League Baseball. Let's move over now to the pitching categories. Coming in at number one, starting off in the wins category, Shane McClanahan from the Tampa Bay Rays. He currently has 8 wins. Tied for second, Joe Ryan from the Minnesota Twins, Nathan Eovaldi from the Texas Rangers, and Zach Lind from the Tampa Bay Rays. They all have 7 wins. And at number five is Merrill Kelly from the Arizona Diamondbacks. He has 6 wins. The next category is saves. Coming in at number one, Emmanuel Clase from the Cleveland Guardians. He has 17 saves. Coming in at number two is Camilo Doval from the San Francisco Giants. He has 14 saves. And in tied for third, we have Josh Hader from the San Diego Padres, Felix Bautista from the Baltimore Orioles, and Carlos Estevez from the Los Angeles Angels. They all have 13 saves. The next category is ERA, earned run average. At number one, Sonny Gray from the Minnesota Twins. He has an ERA of 1.94. At number two, Shane McClanahan from the Tampa Bay Rays. He has an ERA of 1.97. At number three, Bryce Elder from the Atlanta Braves. He has an ERA of 2.01. At number four, Eduardo Rodriguez from the Detroit Tigers. He has an ERA of 2.13. And at number five, Joe Ryan from the Minnesota Twins. He has an ERA of 2.21. Next category that we have is strikeouts. Coming in at number one, Spencer Strider from the Atlanta Braves. He has 106 strikeouts. Coming in at number two is Shohei Ohtani from the Los Angeles Angels. He has 90 strikeouts. At number three is Kevin Gausman from the Toronto Blue Jays. He has 89 strikeouts. And at number four is Mitch Keller from the Pittsburgh Pirates. He has 85 strikeouts. And at number five is Pablo Lopez from the Minnesota Twins. He has 81 strikeouts. Next category is innings pitched. At number one is Nathan Eovaldi from the Texas Rangers. He's pitched 74.1 innings. At number two, Gerrit Cole from the New York Yankees. Coming in at number three is Marcus Stroman from the Chicago Cubs. And then tied for fourth is Logan Webb from the San Francisco Giants and Framber Valdez from the Houston Astros. And the last category that we have is walks plus hits innings pitched. At number one, Tyler Wells from the Baltimore Orioles. At number two, Logan Gilbert from the Seattle Mariners. At number three, Joe Ryan from the Minnesota Twins. At number four, Shohei Ohtani from the Los Angeles Angels. And at number five is Eduardo Rodriguez from the Detroit Tigers. And that takes care of your current league leaders in Major League Baseball. Before we go to break, let's give you the current standings in Major League Baseball. Let's start off with the American League. And in the American League East, the leader is currently the Tampa Bay Rays. They have a record of 39 wins and 17 losses, followed by at number two by the Baltimore Orioles. They have a record of 34 and 20. The New York Yankees are next with a record of 33 and 23, followed by the Boston Red Sox with a record of 28 and 25. And then you have the Toronto Blue Jays with a record of 28 and 26. The next division is going to be the American League Central. We have the Minnesota Twins that are the leaders with a record of 28 and 26, followed by the Detroit Tigers with a record of 25 and 27. The Cleveland Guardians are next with a record of 24 and 29. Then we have the Chicago White Sox with a record of 22 and 34, and the Kansas City Royals have a record of 17 and 38. And the last division that we have is the American League West. We have the Texas Rangers with a record of 34 and 19, followed by the Houston Astros with a record of 31 and 22. The Los Angeles Angels are next with a record of 29 and 26. The Seattle Mariners are next with a record of 28 and 26. And then the Oakland A's are last with a record of 11 and 45. Let's move over now to the National League. And in the National League East, it's always a dogfight. And certainly with these teams, you can take your pick of which one you would want to have to win the National League East. But currently, the Atlanta Braves are in first place with a record of 32-22, followed by the Miami Marlins with a record of 28-26. Then we have the New York Mets with a record of 27-27, followed by the Philadelphia Phillies with a record of 25-28. And then the Washington Nationals are last with a record of 23-31. Let's move over to the National League Central now. We have the Milwaukee Brewers. They have a record of 28-25. Again, this is currently in the National League Central. So the Brewers are in first place, followed by the Pittsburgh Pirates with a record of 26-27. Then the Cincinnati Reds have a record of 24-29. The Chicago Cubs are next with a record of 23-30. And then the St. Louis Cardinals are last with a record of 24-32. And then lastly, we have the National League West, where we have the Los Angeles Dodgers with a record of 33-22, followed by the Arizona Diamondbacks with a record of 31-23. The San Francisco Giants are next with a record of 28-26. The San Diego Padres are next with a record of 24-29. And then in last place are the Colorado Rockies with a record of 24-31. So, and we're still very early in the Major League Baseball season, have one more month before we get into the All-Star break in the middle of July. So certainly a lot of play left, and certainly those divisions that I mentioned, such as the American League East, the American League West, the National League East and the National League West, are just some of those tough divisions that's always been dog-eat-dog for such a long time. And it's, I tell you what, it's never a dull moment in those divisions, or really all divisions of Major League Baseball, as things continue to heat up before we get to the All-Star break. All right, when we come back from the break, we have an interview with Jennifer Mercedes. She's the producer and co-host of La Vida Baseball. The show airs on YouTube, which covers Major League Baseball from a Latin perspective. In addition, she is the founder, producer, and host of La Chica Deportes. La Chica Deportes is a show that covers sports from a Latin perspective. On the program, we discuss Giancarlo Stanton, Aaron Judge, Derek Jeter. Also, we talk about the Dominican Republic and the impact of its players in Major League Baseball. Jennifer is coming up after the break. I'm Ed Robinson, and you're listening to Extra Base Hit. All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. That audio was courtesy of La Vida Baseball, which is a show that airs exclusively on YouTube, which gives us baseball from a Latin perspective. And the voice that you heard was Jennifer Mercedes telling the story of the red seat at Fenway Park, which is home to Major League Baseball's Boston Red Sox. And speaking of which, let's welcome her to the program. She is the co-host of La Vida Baseball. We're going to talk to her about the impact of Latin players and what they bring to the table. Also, her Dominican Republic roots and so much more. Let's welcome her to the program, Jennifer Mercedes. Hey, Jennifer, welcome to the program.
Hi, hello. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us on the program. So every story has a beginning. Can you tell the listeners out there what was your upbringing like growing up?
I grew up in northern New Jersey, Bergen County, New Jersey. I grew up a baseball fan. My dad was really big into baseball, still is. And so I grew up watching the game. And as a Latina, as a Dominican, baseball is just, runs in our blood. So that's kind of where I got started. That's where I was introduced to the game of baseball. I then played Little League softball, and I played in high school. So I've always been around the sport.
I want to segue now to your introduction to sports. So you mentioned about your father being a huge baseball fan, still is today, and of course, being Dominican, which we'll get more into detail about that in just a little bit. But you mentioned about playing little league softball and then playing softball in high school. What positions did you play?
I played center and right. I can't claim to have been great, but I played.
Okay, fair enough. Well, aside from your introduction to baseball and, of course, getting acquainted with softball, were you introduced to any other sports growing up in the New York City metropolitan area or northern New Jersey, be exact? I know most people growing up in the NYC or coming from places like northern central New Jersey, stickball is a popular game that's played in the streets on the East Coast. Did you have experiences maybe playing stickball or playing other sports, or was it just strictly softball for you?
No, I played some basketball. Being close to New York, obviously, it allows you to experience, I feel like, both cultures. I feel like I had the best of both worlds. I grew up in the suburbs, but my mom has her business in Washington Heights, so I was always there as a kid running the streets with my sister. So I grew up with both cultures, so I played some basketball. And stickball, vitilla, what we call in the Dominican Republic. It's played a little bit differently, but with a broomstick and basically the cap of a, like, water jug. And so we played a lot of that in my house. And whenever I visited the DR, we'd play that as well.
Awesome. And I want to just talk now about continuing with the sport of baseball. I know the New York City metropolitan area, of course, we know about the New York Yankees playing in the Bronx. We know about the New York Mets being in Queens, but also just the New York metropolitan area, just with Yankees, Mets alone, but just the East Coast, specifically with the Red Sox. And, of course, you've got the Washington Nationals and the Baltimore Orioles and the Philadelphia Phillies. But what were your favorite baseball teams growing up?
Yeah, I was a diehard Yankee fan growing up. That was my team. I thankfully I was able to go to a couple of games when I was a kid. My first game, I remember we were sitting up in like the old Yankee Stadium, up there in the nosebleed section. And my mom was like, I will never come back here because she was scared of heights. And so it was like literally like you felt you were going to fall forward. But then I was able to get some better seats later on in life. But yeah, I grew up a Yankee fan.
You mentioned about old Yankee Stadium and new Yankee Stadium. Do you notice any differences between the two?
I mean, this one is obviously much more modern, for sure. It still holds some of that old history because, you know, it's the Yankees. But it's different in the sense that it is definitely way more modern and more fan-friendly, for sure.
All right. I want to stay again just with Yankee Stadium for a moment. Did they make any changes to that area known as Monument Park? Is it still kind of like situated in that same area where it was when the old Yankee Stadium was up?
I believe so. And it's still there. Fans can go and walk around it before the games. It's a nice area if you know, for big Yankee fans, you can, you know, delve into the history and remember the players that have been there.
Awesome. And I want to stay again just with the Bronx Bombers for a moment. I want to talk about Giancarlo Stanton. He had a solid career during his time playing with the Miami Marlins, but now he spent several years with the New York Yankees and put up some decent numbers so far. Give me your thoughts on Giancarlo and his time so far with the Yankees.
Yeah, I think, you know, he's been a great player. He's a great addition. He's a great part of this team. He's an important part of the team, of the Yankees. And I think him and Judge are an integral part of the success of the Yankees. If they are both healthy, I feel like they always have a chance of making it, right? So I think Stanton is an integral part of this team.
All right. And, of course, we've got to talk about here comes the Judge, Aaron Judge, right? He got rewarded with a big contract extension, and then definitely there was talks about him exploring free agency, and rightfully so. I mean, you're a great player like that. Of course, when you led the major leagues in home runs, breaking the American League home run record, you're going to explore all of your options. But he decided to stay in the Bronx and play for the Yankees. Give me your thoughts on Aaron and his career thus far with the Yankees, and what his future holds as a Major League Baseball player?
Well, his future is definitely bright. It's joining Giancarlo Stanton as well. But obviously his future is bright. I think, you know, it was a great decision to come back and sign with the Yankees, everything that his people did in order to get that done and what the Yankees did to get that done was a great decision. He's a huge part of the New York Yankees. He's the captain. And what he brings to the table is unlike many players. He's got the charisma as well. Fans love him. And so that's great, you know, to have for a player. I think that, you know, you can have the skill set, but if you don't have that charm, it's difficult to develop also like as a personality. And he's done both very well on and off the field.
I want to stay just with Aaron for a moment. You talk about personality, and we know that New York City, it's the bright lights and the big city, and you got to have personality or some sort of energy in order to be there, whether you're an individual especially if you're an athlete. How has Aaron adapted well to New York City? You mentioned about him having the personality and handling everything that comes with New York. Has he adapted well? Has it been a slow process for him adjusting to the Big Apple?
No, I believe he's adjusted perfectly in his time with New York. And obviously you can see that in the way that he plays, the pressure. There's always pressure on New York players, and he's been able to play through that and excel, you know, last year with 60-plus home runs. So the New York pressure definitely has not affected him. If anything, it has propelled him.
Awesome. And, you know, we talk about the pressure of New York, and someone that adjusted very well to New York and basically had that city on his shoulders, the captain, Derek Jeter. I mean, what can you say about him? Efficient, someone that made big hits when it mattered the most, offensively was solid. Man, defensively, he was off the chain and then some. What was Jeter mania like during that time in the New York City area?
I mean, I was a huge Derek Jeter fan growing up. I had a Derek Jeter poster in my room, life-size poster, I like to say. So, I mean, that time was great, right? Especially when it was the Bronx Bombers, the core team, right, that we like to talk about. But that time was amazing. And even towards, you know, till the end, having Derek Jeter be a part of the New York Yankees was great. And there's so many great memories. I, for one, was blessed and honored to have interviewed him a couple of times, which is like, you know, a bucket list type of thing. But the impact that Jeter had, not only on the Yankees, but on baseball, right? And he continues to have everybody, you know, he's one of those names that, you know, worldwide. There's not that many names in baseball that everyone knows, and Derek Jeter is one of those names.
In his 20 years that he played with the Yankees, in your opinion, what were some of the qualities that he brought to that organization? Because one of the things that he was rewarded for was his consistency and being loyal. So in your opinion, what were some of the intangibles or the qualities, in your opinion, that he brought to the New York Yankees organization?
Oh, class, you know, above all else. I think, you know, knowing how to handle yourself in situations. Excuse me. Derek Jeter, knowing just how to handle himself in certain situations, knowing how to deal with the pressure of New York, he always demonstrated class, hard work. It's, you know, losing is not an option in New York, especially when you had Steinbrenner at the helm. But Jeter, respect, class, and hard work, I think are some of the things that you think about when you think of Derek and, you know, championships. He's not somebody, he's a lot like Kobe in that sense, like that they remind me of each other in the sense that failure was not an option.
Indeed, rightfully so. And Derek was phenomenal for the time period that he was with the New York Yankees. And let's say kind of like with that era, along with Derek Jeter, one of my favorite players as a part of the New York Yankees, Bernie Williams. you know, Bernie is such a unique individual, not just with playing baseball, but also he's had an accomplished career as a jazz guitar player. And Bernie hails from Puerto Rico. He has Puerto Rican roots. And Bernie was a part of those great Yankee runs during between the mid-90s, early 2000s. Give me your thoughts on Bernie and his time with the Yankees.
Yeah, another fan favorite, you know, five-time All-Star, World Series champ, Gold Glover, Silver Slugger, all of, you know, all of the types of awards that you can get as a player. And Bernie was just, you know, one of those greats as well. His impact, and for me also growing up a Yankee fan, right, when I used to see the Latino players excel, was also just so great for me to see, right? Representation matters. And so when you see the Latino players excel at a high level, and when you see them excel with the New York Yankees, it's just something so special. And he's also just a nice person. I've had the chance to meet him as well. And yeah, I mean, what he brought to the New York Yankees was great. I feel like that era, right? It was all just greatness. Like I said, five-time All-Star, World Series champ, I think he won an MVP in the postseason as well, Gold Glover. So all of those things, how can you not be a great impact to a team?
Rightfully so. And I guess, you know, that's the makings of a great team. Everybody adds depth and adds versatility to that squad. We talked about Derek Jeter. Also, you could mention Jorge Posada, of course, Andy Pettit. And, of course, you've got Paul O'Neill. And certainly Bernie Williams is one of those guys that made the difference during that championship run for the New York Yankees. And I touched on Bernie being from Puerto Rico, and that segues into the next thing that I want to talk about, the impact of Latin players and what they bring to the table for Major League Baseball. We've seen Latin players from all countries, you know, Puerto Rico. We've seen them come from Venezuela and Argentina, and of course, from Guatemala, Nicaragua, just to name a few, and Cuba as well. I mean, baseball is almost like, I hate to use this word, but like a religion in a lot of those countries. Opinion on the impact of Latin players and what they bring to the table for Major League Baseball.
Yeah, the impact that Latino players have on the game of baseball and have had and will continue to have is undeniable, right? I think that Latin America is the largest exporter, right, of players into the MLB, the Dominican Republic being the first, and then I believe you have Venezuela and Puerto Rico, and the list goes on. And it is like a religion. For a lot of Latin American countries. If you watched anything, any of the games during the WBC, you can tell by the fan bases that showed up and showed out, the passion that the players play with and the passion that these fans have in supporting their team. It shows. And so the impact that Latinos have on the game is undeniable, and it's almost like how do you even put a price on it, right? Because I feel like the Latin players, they're the ones that put the sazon, the seasoning into the game, same as African-American players. We're the ones that got the swag. We bring the fun, I feel like, you know, and that's not to take away from any of the other players, but we just give it that X factor.
Rightfully so. I want to stay just with Latino players in Major League Baseball. We've seen programs specifically in America where they've attracted young African Americans to Major League Baseball. Are there programs or like some type of initiatives in Latin American countries where they can get more young kids involved in the sport of baseball and maybe the potential of them having a career in Major League Baseball?
In Latin America, there are a ton of programs. There are many, many academies that have been built outside of the MLB academies. I think every town at this point must have a baseball academy. If the kids aren't signed up to a league, they are playing in the streets. They play a lot of vitilla, the stick ball, like I mentioned before. Particularly for in Dominican Republic. Now, when we talk about other countries that are still developing, countries that are struggling, like Venezuela, for one, but there are other countries that are, it's really developing its baseball teams, its baseball talents. somebody like Nicaragua is a country that is really developing their baseball talent. We saw them in the WBC. Other countries that are having a lot of success is also Colombia in that sense. So, yes, there are academies, there are leagues, and I think MLB is getting better about that as well as investing in Latin America when it comes to those academies and trying to offer baseball to everybody.
Awesome. That's great to hear. And speaking of Latin America, I want to stay with Latin America for a moment and your roots, where your parents are from, the Dominican Republic. Before we get more into detail about the relationship between baseball and the Dominican Republic, for those that have never been to the country, what do you tell them about the DR?
Oh, it's a wonderful country. It has, you know, just like any country, it has its ups and downs. There's crime, there's all of that, but just like in the U.S., you know, so don't let that deter you from visiting this bright, colorful island that is full of love and full of people that are hardworking people that get themselves up every morning and go to work and try to have a better life for themselves and their families. Great food. The culture is amazing. I always tell people, if you can, head down there during the winter baseball, because you will just experience what people were experiencing during the WBC, which is just a lot of love, passion, and fun at these games. You know, Latinos, they bring something different to the game. And when you're out there in the Dominican Republic watching these games, there's drums, there's trumpets, there's the food at the games. You have, you know, Brugal, which is one of the drinks, the rums out there. So it is a party. It is an event. Every game is an event when you go out there. So I would encourage everyone at some point in their lives to visit the DR and not only go to the resorts, because the resorts are amazing. We have some of the best beaches in the world, but also go into the cities, visit one of the stadiums, one of the ballparks, and enjoy yourselves like a local.
Awesome, man. I haven't been there yet, but I would love to get to the DR one day. And I just want to let everybody know, like, watching the World Baseball Classic was so exciting, not just with the United States and Japan and with Korea, but just seeing the spirit and the pride of the Latin American countries, man. They really showed up and showed out to represent their fellow countrymen. And I'll tell you what, the WBC, the World Baseball Classic, was a lot of fun. And we're going to get more into the Dominican Republic and baseball in just a moment. I want to stay with the culture of the DR. You mentioned food and drink. Can you give the listeners out there, like, some great Dominican dishes that you recommend them to try and what's in them? And also, you mentioned about drinks. Let them know that about the drinks as well.
So I'm not a big drinker, but, you know, definitely, like, when you go down there, people like to drink some mamajuana, the brugal, the rum. The rums are very popular in the DR, but if you like beer, you can't go wrong with the Presidente. That is the beer of the Dominican Republic, right? And food, gosh, there's so much food in our culture. And if you're from the Caribbean, you have a lot of similar dishes. So there's the plantains, the mangú that we make with plantains. So it's mashed plantains. You boil them, then you mash them with some butter or olive oil, with some pickled onions, and then you have fried salami and fried cheese and fried eggs. That's what we have for breakfast. It's a heavy breakfast, so that's always something that you have to try. You go to a restaurant, you say tres golpes, and they'll give you that plate. What else? Rice and beans and some meat. That's what we call the bandera, so the flag. Whenever you ask anybody, they'll be like, oh, what's your favorite dish? And they tell you la bandera, that's what it is. It's rice, beans, and some type of meat, whether it be chicken or stewed meat. There is just so much food. But I would definitely, I say you can't go wrong with some rice and beans and some mango.
Sounds delicious, man. Sounds so delicious. And you mentioned, again, about the culture of the DR, and you mentioned about the resorts, but a lot of baseball players, well, not all, but the majority of the players that are from the Dominican Republic, a lot of them come from the major cities such as Santo Domingo, and there's also San Pedro de Macorís. Can you explain to the listeners the differences between Santo Domingo and San Pedro de Macorís in terms of the culture and city life, things of that nature?
Well, Santo Domingo is the capital of the Dominican Republic. It is much more, the growth in the capital, you can see it if you haven't been there in a long time and you go now. A lot of people say they don't even recognize it. It's much more advanced technologically and architecturally. There's bridges, there's the train. There are many forms of transportation in the capital itself. So it is much more advanced in that sense than San Pedro de Macorís is. It's still developing. It is still, what we like to call the cuna, which is kind of like the birthplace, right, of a lot of great baseball players. That is where Sammy Sosa comes from. That is where Robinson Cano comes from. He still lives out there. So it's still, you find a lot of great baseball out there. That is where Fernando Tatis Jr. is from. And he plays with Las Estrellas, which is in San Pedro de Macorís. So does Robinson Cano, as well as many other players. But the main difference is that the capital is much more developed and advanced than San Pedro. But as far as the culture is the same,
Awesome. And, let's get now to the impact of Dominican players in Major League Baseball. You mentioned some of those gentlemen, Fernando Tatis Jr., Robinson Cano. Also, we can't forget about recent retiree David Ortiz, all rep the DR, and we've seen the impact for decades of Dominican players being in Major League Baseball. Just give me your thoughts on the impact of the Dominican Republic in their players in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, I feel like the Dominican players have helped to make the baseball, to make baseball exciting and dynamic. They've helped to expand the reach of baseball. I feel like across the world, everybody knows who Big Papi is, and that speaks to where he comes from. It speaks to the culture and just the way that a lot of the Dominican players carry themselves. Like I said in the beginning, it's the flag. So the impact that Dominican players have had on the game is undeniable. It's a significant impact, and their influence on the game itself and on other players. You see a lot of other players, up-and-coming players, really try to emulate a lot of those former stars and wanting to be like them. And now we have, I believe it's 5 Hall of Famers as well. So the list, and that list is only going to grow as the years go by and these guys start to retire.
Awesome. And definitely their presence has been felt for so long and still continue to be felt in Major League Baseball. Jennifer, Major League Baseball has brought a lot of changes this year just in terms of improving the game and making the game better and trying to make it more exciting for a new generation. The pitch clock. So far, we've seen the results of the pitch clock in Major League Baseball. Are you a fan of it? Yes or no? And why?
I don't know if I'm necessarily a fan of it. I think maybe some things could change, but it has shortened the game by about half an hour. Fans do feel when the games are shorter because, MLB, it's hard sometimes for people to get through an entire game. People's attention span is not that long. And so it has helped. If anything does help people's attention span, people actually watching a game, I think it's great for the game.
Yeah, it kind of hurts the authenticity just to sit there and just, concentrate and just wait for the drama to happen. And especially it can hurt a pitcher. I mean, we've seen it happen.
Yeah, but I think, I think players will get adjusted to it. But next year, I think that you will no longer even see the difference anymore. I think players will get accustomed to it. It's a learning curve. But I do think that they will get used to it, and it's an adjustment. And players are a creature of habit. So once they start creating this new habit, they will feel comfortable with it. It's just that it's new.
Yeah. It just takes time. And like you said, it's an adjustment. And certainly the pitch clock is something that they're going to attract. And as we stated earlier, it's going to try to attract a new audience to Major League Baseball. Program that you do via your YouTube channel, La Vida Baseball, you're the co-host of that program where it takes a look at Major League Baseball from a Latin perspective. Tell the audience about La Vida Baseball.
Yeah, what I've always liked to do, even through my own platform, La Chica Deportes, is to tell the story of the Latino player through a Latino lens. And it's the same thing we do at La Vida Baseball, telling the story of the Latino player, allowing them to have a platform to share their stories and in their native tongue. I think it's the most important thing that I can do, right, is offer them a platform to tell their stories in a way that they feel comfortable in doing so. And that's what I've been doing for many years now, with and without La Vida Baseball. But please follow us if you want to learn more about your favorite players. That's what we're there for.
Tell everybody, Jennifer, where they can find you on social media, where they can find La Vida Baseball, and any websites. Let them know that as well.
Yeah, so you can follow me at La Chica Deportes on all social media platforms, and follow La Vida Baseball as well. So that's La Chica Deportes, LachiaDeportes. That means the sports chick in English, and La Vida Baseball. So follow us, get to know us, get to know me, and I hope you like our content.
And you heard it from her. She is from Mercedes, from La Vida Baseball, which is programmed exclusively on YouTube that covers baseball from a Latin perspective. And also don't forget to check her out on the various social media platforms, including the website. Also check out La Chica Deportes as well. Jennifer, this was a lot of fun. Again, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us. If ever you want to come back on, just feel free to let us know.
Awesome. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. More right after this.
Well, guys, I'm here to expect Ben Way Park to meet you. The Red State in 1946 had Williams won a 500-foot home run with the bounce off the hat of signing Joe Kosher. And in 1984, the Red Sox turned to make this team red so that everyone would know the story of the longest home run this year.
Oops.
Get on top of it before they do. Every 24 minutes, tipped furniture or a falling TV sends an injured child to the emergency room. Preventing tip-over incidents is easy, inexpensive, and only takes 5 minutes. Learn how to secure your furniture and TVs to protect children at anchorit.gov.
Everybody, that's going to do it for this edition of Extra Base Hit. Once again, a big special thank you to Jennifer Mercedes, producer and co-host of La Vida Baseball, the show which airs on YouTube covering Major League Baseball from a Latin perspective, and also the founder, producer, and host of La Chica Deportes. La Chica Deportes is a show that covers sports from a Latin perspective. Again, big special thank you to Jennifer for appearing on the program. Until next time, everybody, I'm Ed Robinson saying so long, and you've been listening to Extra Base Hit.